His name is Dylan Feltovich. Dylan, how we doing?
I'm hanging in there. Not a fan of this weather right now, but, you know, we make do with it.
Yeah, I could do without the freezing cold temperatures and the snow. But luckily, Ohio State can be playing a little further south in a dome in the warmth, so they won't have to deal with these conditions.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, always a good thing. Coming into this, Ohio State, 10-point favorites. Pretty heavy for a national championship, I feel like. Why are they such heavy favorites going into this game?
Well, I know that the line is starting to drop a little bit. I think right now, the last time I checked, it was hovering around 8. But I got to say that it's most likely due to the fact that they have been very dominant so far. I mean, their deficit so far in any of the victories that they've had, I mean, it was 14 points, you know, and this is one of the cases where this is a very powerful team. We've said it basically every week that I've been on so far, and they're fully capable of doing damage, and I know that Notre Dame's been dealing with some injuries here and there, so that's probably going to be part of the reason why you're going to see that big of a line there.
It's definitely interesting. You mentioned 14 points being their smallest margin, that going up against Texas. The game was a little close for a while, gave us a little bit of a scare throughout the ending there. Do you look at that one and take anything away that you're concerned about heading into the national championship?
I think the biggest thing you take away from that game is just how much this team relies on Jeremiah Smith. The way that Texas organized their defense and came in with the game plan of just isolating him, it truly goes to show you how much that he is a game changer for the Ohio State Buckeyes offense. I mean, he did phenomenal against Oregon and Tennessee. They put up big numbers against them. And then you look at this one and they start to struggle, not looking too good going into half. You know, they're driving down the field. Texas almost scores there. Luckily, defense came up clutch. But I think that the biggest it factor for this next game is going to be just how Jeremiah Smith does and whatever Notre Dame decides to throw at them.
Okay, then, Dylan, so how does Jeremiah Smith then get back on track after being nullified, essentially, against Texas?
I mean, it's tough to really say that he could do too much of his own power, because Texas did a phenomenal job. They have a very good defensive back unit there. Their secondary is very good. It's hard when your whole defensive ideology is taking away one guy, because then at that point, all the pressure's on you. You can't really do too much. So honestly, I mean, there's nothing much that he could do other than just do his thing out there, and if the ball comes his way, go get it. I know that Notre Dame has a lot of talented DBs as well, too. But overall, I mean, at some point, you just got to be able to rely on your other playmakers. And it's not like, you know, he's throwing to anyone that's, you know, a decent guy or anything like that. It's two NFL caliber players there in Emeka Buka and Carnell Tate. So overall, I mean, he's got to be able to go out there, do his thing, and then hopefully he starts to get some better looks for himself.
All right, so national championship coming up on Monday. What's one thing to watch out for with this Notre Dame team? What is the one area you think Ohio State fans will be surprised?
I think Jeremiah Love is the true game changer for them. He's a phenomenal running back, built like an absolute truck. I believe like 6 foot, 208 pounds, and he can run you over, and he can also hurdle you too, which is something that not even Derrick Henry could do. Granted, obviously Derrick Henry a lot bigger than that, but either way, he's very dynamic on the ground. They use him in the passing game a little bit. They have a very interesting dynamic there in their running back room there. They got a couple of guys that can really do damage. So the thing is with Love, I mean, he hasn't gotten that many touches this year. He's been hurt, and he won't probably see, you know, 15, 20 carries like a typical running back. It'll be more of a style of Ohio State. But anytime he's on the field, he's a threat. And then on top of that, too, Riley Leonard, he's got legs. I know everyone has been making some throwing some shade about his capability through the air and stuff, but I mean, the kid can run and he's a tough quarterback too, and that's going to be the biggest thing that Ohio State's going to have to watch out for, is can they shut down Notre Dame's run game.
Dylan Feltovich, Ohio State Buckeyes on SI with us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Where do you see Ohio State struggles coming from in this national championship, where maybe we didn't previously see them struggle throughout these college football playoffs?
I think it's definitely going to be the offense yet again, in terms of just being able to get a rhythm and get going. The explosive plays that we saw in the first two games against Tennessee and Oregon, that could be something that could be taken out, just like it happened against Texas. A lot of the things that we could see go wrong, we kind of already experienced against Texas. I don't necessarily think that this is going to be a blowout game by any means. I thought going into this matchup that it was going to be Ohio State no matter what. But as I'm starting to look into Notre Dame a little bit more and their defensive style along with their offensive style, they're a very good team. They made it this far for a reason, and they are fully capable of stopping Ohio State's high-power offense. And the thing is, all that matters is, too, though, you got to realize that it's going to be a defensive matchup. So if Ohio State can somehow find a way to prevail on the offensive side of the ball, it won't matter at that point, and they'll be able to take home a national championship.
We like to hear that, no doubt. You mentioned a little bit about Riley Leonard, the concerns that people have with him going through the air. Which of these teams do you think has the better quarterback?
I would probably say Will Howard is most likely the better quarterback. They are very similar in their styles of play. I think Howard is a little bit different in terms of he's a little bit more reliable, and you can trust him more in the passing game with, it's a lot better than how we've seen Riley Leonard play so far this year. I have very high expectations for the Notre Dame quarterback coming in this year, especially after what he did with Duke last year, but it really hasn't been working out too much. I know he's dealt with a fair share amount of injuries as well too this year, but I'll give him credit where credit's due. He's a tough nut. He goes out there, he does his job, and it's, again, very similar to how Will Howard is, but I think you've seen Will Howard this year make a lot more plays throughout the air, more than Riley Leonard has. So I'm assuming that Ohio State has the edge at the quarterback position heading into this game.
Dylan, how bought are you into Ryan Day versus Lou Holtz?
Oh, man. You saw my text earlier, did you?
I did see your text, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, listen, if one of your arguments is heart and that's a reason why they're going to win, I just throw it out. And no shade to Lou Holtz. He was a phenomenal coach when he had his time in Notre Dame. But the thing is, this is a national championship. You mean to tell me that a team is not going to go out there with enough heart? Like, that's just, it's a stupid, basic, just, it grinds my gears every time I see someone talking about that, because it's just not true. These guys are putting their bodies out there all time, every day, every game, but they have more heart. It just makes no sense to me. I know that he's going on, and I get the tradition and stuff, but it's so frustrating to see that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Likelihood that if Ohio State wins a national championship, Ryan Day makes some kind of comment towards Lou Holtz by the end of it.
Oh, I mean, that's got to be negative value at this point. Like, no doubt about it. Like, I mean, he already gave us one last year with Ohio versus everyone. So, I mean, or how versus the world, whatever it is. So he's definitely going to have to say something again.
Yeah, you're putting odds on money for Ryan Day to call out Lou Holtz once again.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I don't know if that's a bet I'm willing to take, but I like it. I like the that you're throwing it out there as a likelihood option. I'm all for that. Speaking of Ryan Day, What does a game and a potential to win a national championship you think mean for his future as a Buckeye?
I mean, it probably gives him a lot more time, you know, and it pretty much clears up any narratives that we really had against him. You know, if you look at what he's done so far in the college football playoffs, he's taken down Tennessee. He's beaten an SEC team. He went up against the number one team in the nation and absolutely dominated. And then on top of that, too, he goes into the semifinals. He clears that again and beats an SEC team. I mean, you get everything that you kind of want. And I think it reassures fans at that point, too, that, hey, this is the guy. And it comes down to what happens with Chip Kelly in terms of, I don't know if he's going to be in the running for a head coaching spot. Obviously, he previously was a head coach, UCLA, and then obviously with the Eagles and stuff. But no matter what, I think Ryan Day solidifies himself as the future head coach for the Ohio State Buckeyes for the foreseeable future.
Do you put any stock in him potentially moving to the NFL, even with a national championship win?
I've seen all those rumors, and, you know, obviously Jim Harbaugh just did that with going from Michigan, winning the national championship there, and now going to the Los Angeles Chargers. I don't necessarily think that Ryan Day would go and do that, because the one thing that really differs from Harbaugh and Day is the NFL experience. I know that, obviously, Day has NFL experience, but at the same time, too, it's not the same as what Harbaugh had. You know, he's never been a head coach in the NFL. I think that it would be pretty dumb for him to go and leave for an NFL job at that point, because you got something really special going on at Ohio State. You figured out the NIL, and you hammered that one pretty hard. You've done a phenomenal job recruiting. You might as well just stay and keep riding it out.
Yeah, no doubt. Dylan Feldovich with us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Dylan, the player with the biggest opportunity to raise their draft stock within this game, who would you point to?
I would probably say, and I mean, honestly, he's been doing a phenomenal job the whole entire college football playoffs, and he's done a phenomenal job of rising it already. But Travion Henderson, if he goes out there and continues to do what he does, like, at that point, you're talking about potentially late first round. And I know Ashton Gentry, obviously, he's probably going to be at least a top 15 pick. But, I mean, at this point, what else do you have to see from Travion Henderson? He's very dynamic with the ball. You can utilize him in the pass game. He clearly showed that against Texas there. If he goes out there and does his thing again, you could be talking about maybe him back end first round, and I would not be surprised if that was the case.
Dylan, Douglas Maurice obviously covers the Buckeyes for Cleveland.com, was on the station earlier on this week and put it out as a potential that with a national championship win here, Ohio State could be building towards sort of the next dynasty and potentially putting themselves on track to win three out of the next five, I believe is the number that he put on it. Is that too far ahead of ourselves, or do you see a similar path that Doug sees as well?
No, I completely agree with Doug. I mean, he does phenomenal work, too, and he's spot on with this. I mean, if you look at everything that really consists of a dynasty, it's every element of the team is pretty much perfect. You know, you think of a team, I know it's going into the NFL, but like the Kansas City Chiefs, they got it with the defense. It's good enough. They got Patrick Mahomes at the quarterback spot. They have all these things, and if you translate it over into Ohio State, they have a solidified head coach. They got someone that they really like in Julian Sain for next year. Their defense is very solid. I know they're going to lose some pieces here and there, but the recruiting has been outstanding. This definitely has the potential of being a dynasty if they can continue what they're doing, because they've hopped on the NIL train and they've gotten that one locked down pretty well. So you're already ahead of the curve. Like, this has everything to be a dynasty.
Dylan, I'll give you the opportunity here to jump in. Marcus Freeman, obviously, taking Notre Dame to a national championship. I talked about it with Spencer on our podcast, Sons of the Shoe for the station, that this is sort of the in-your-face type of move to Brian Kelly, who sort of left Notre Dame saying they didn't have enough resources to put themselves in a position to win a national championship. So obviously he goes to LSU, somewhere he feels like he has more. Marcus Freeman steps in and takes them right to where Brian Kelly thought he couldn't. Is this sort of a biggest loser of the season for Brian Kelly?
Oh, you're so nice for getting me involved in this conversation.
I knew you would like it.
Yeah, of course. Part of me wants to feel a little bit bad for Brian Kelly just because it's like, man, that sucks. But, like, honestly, you did it to yourself, dude. I understand why he wanted to make the move at the time, because, to be fair, Notre Dame didn't really have the resources to make it into that top four when it was the, you know, 14 college football playoffs. But now when it's 12, it's a whole different ball game, and they've proven to be a team that can get at least a top 12 spot in the college football playoffs. And that's all Brian Kelly really needed in all those years, and then he could go and try to prove himself. But he ended up leaving for the SEC. He gets a harder job now because he has to go and try to fight through the SEC, make a name for himself there, and it's not really worked out for him. And, I mean, yeah, that's probably the biggest loser so far, is seeing that, you know, Brian Kelly could have easily been in this spot too.
Me and all my homies love to hate on Brian Kelly and his fake accents and everything else. Dylan, real quick, real quick to get us out of here, a prediction for the national championship. What do you got?
I will go with Ohio State 17, Notre Dame 14. I think it's going to be low scoring.
That is an ugly game, 17-14. He is Dylan Feltovich of Ohio State Buckeyes NSI. Make sure you check out all of his work over there. Really good stuff. Dylan, as always, appreciate you and looking forward to talking to you here after what is hopefully a Buckeyes national championship.
Of course. Thanks, Jake.
And Dylan joined us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I want to get to a little bit what he had to say as well. A national championship, and whether or not it changes your perspective on the importance of the game. 216-474-0092. It's Jake Volnick with the guys here on the Fam. Let's get to an Andrew Hody 2020 update.